This is Brenda Beth. Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Josie Vasantino is playing that song.
Bag of Goodies Productions and Alan Parson Productions presents another special edition of The Josie Show. Tonight, Josie interviews the legendary Mickey Gilley, Cowboy Bill Martin, and Cheyenne Smith Ford from the Arlington Music Hall in Arlington, Texas, about a week ago. And now, because we said so, Josie Passantino.
Yeah, because we said so. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Josie Show special edition episode. And we are so, so very glad that you are joining us tonight because we have an awesome, awesome special edition. I am super, super stoked tonight to bring you my backstage interviews from the Mickey Gilley concert that I was recently at in Arlington, Texas, at the Arlington Music Hall. And this was a Netex production sponsored by iCrafters, and the show benefited the Cowboys Who Care Foundation. And I have interviews to share with you from Cowboy Bill Martin, Cheyenne Smith Ford, and the legendary Mickey Gilley himself. So it's going to be such a great, great episode. I'm very, very excited for you guys to hear the very, 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 very much fun we had in Arlington, Texas. And it was so much fun. Texas was so beautiful, and we just enjoyed it so much and can't wait to go back already. And I want you all to please check out all of our Josie Show special edition episodes by going to www.josieshow.com. And click on the special editions tab at the top to check out all of our other special editions, because we had so many so far that are just so great. You're going to love them. So please make sure you check that out. And so, yeah, and of course, a little bit later, we also have some announcements at the end of the show. So stay with us. And so now, without any further ado, let me bring you my interviews from the Mickey Gilley concert that was held at the Arlington Music Hall. And so up first, I had the great pleasure of speaking with comedian Cowboy Bill. And he is so, so funny and does such great work with his organization, Cowboys Who Care Foundation. So please take a listen to our backstage chat. He is awesome. Here we go.
Oh, I am very excited because I am with comedian Cowboy Bill Martin. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Josie. How are you?
Doing pretty good. First off, I want to start by saying you were hilarious tonight. I had so much fun just laughing until my sides hurt.
Thanks. You know, it's fun. I've always been a huge Mickey Gilley fan. Not only that, I actually wrote a script, Urban Cowboy 2, that we've been trying to sell forever. And so that's kind of like a big dream come true to come and hang out with Mr. Gilley and do the show. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun. I think that's so cool. And, of course, we're here for Cowboys Who Care Foundation, which you started up. And I think it's so cool. Can you tell us how you got started with this?
Sure. I've been doing comedy for 16, 17 years or so. And I had a young lady named Ashley Miller. Her parents were big fans of mine. Mm-hmm. And asked me to put my name on a golf tournament here in Texas because she had a rare form of cancer to raise some money for her. Perfect. So we raised the money for her, and then her cancer went into remission, and they came back with a vengeance. And Ashley lost her battle with cancer in June of 2011. Mm-hmm. And since then, I tried to get myself involved with pediatric cancer because I have some healthy, amazing kids. And I saw what the Millers had to go through, and then I couldn't figure it out. And then one day I just opened it up to the universe, and I Googled kids with cancer images. And I had all these big, bright, beautiful faces, these beautiful smiles, and bald heads. And in the mirror, I could see my cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And that's when the light came on. It's like, well, these kids need cowboy hats. What 7-year-old wants to wear a wig, but what 7-year-old wouldn't want to wear a cowboy hat?
Yeah.
So my wife and I formed Cowboys Who Care Foundation, a nonprofit organization. And our sole purpose is to provide financial support, smiles, and brand new free cowboy, resist all cowboy hats to boys and girls who have cancer and other life-threatening illnesses. And in our first 17 and a half months, we've given away a little over 1,800 cowboy hats to boys and girls across the country. So.
Wow. Way to go. That's incredible. I think that's just so amazing. I absolutely love your work there. And, you know, for people who want to get involved, you know, whether it's financially or just by word. How exactly can they get started with that?
You know, two ways, really. Go to cowboyswhocare.org, cowboyswhocare.org, or go to our Facebook, facebook.com/cowboyswhocare. And then join up there and sign up, and then just tell some folks about us. We've got a couple of great videos out, both on the website and Facebook. And if they could share those with other people to let us know, let other people know about our organization, that's how it all starts. And you know, when we approached Resist All, who also owns Stetson, which is the largest hat company in the world, Hatco, when I approached them, they jumped in full force with us. And the guy that used to be the president, Stan Redding, as soon as he heard about it, he goes, you know, I've been selling hats for 35 years. I'm surprised I didn't come up with this somewhere. Somebody in our staff didn't come up with this. And they love the organization. So people understand it. Because I used to be part of the Tough Enough to Wear Pink program.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood. I knew I was wearing pink shirts. Never understood what I was doing to help, if I was helping anybody, other than the fact that I look really good in a pink shirt.
Yes.
So other than that, I'm not sure if I was helping anybody. But once we came up with Cowboys Who Care, you know, I guess I fit nearly every one of the 1,800 hats on the kids' heads, and I see the smiles. That not only gets for the parents or for the kids, but also for the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents light up, and they understand. And then for the kid, you know, we're not trying to cure cancer. We're not trying to say that we're doing any of those things. All we're trying to do is take them from being a sick kid to just being a kid for a little bit of time. And that's our purpose, and it seems to be working.
I love that. I just love that. And if there's any way we could support, too, we'd love to. We could put it on our site, whatever you would like. That would be incredible.
Yeah, this, just doing interviews like this and you guys talking about it, that's where we're getting the word out. And I can't thank you enough, Josie.
Oh, anytime. And also, of course, you're an amazing comedian. You know, how did you get started with being a comedian? How did you start?
I got divorced. I also had written advertising for 9 years coming out of college. And one day I lost my job in advertising, and I got fired. And I called everybody that I knew to tell them that I got fired, right? And I was amazed on how many people put me on hold, right?
Right.
Except my grandmother. My grandmother said, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. And she said, well, I'd like you to go home and just look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you happy? Just start out with that.
Yeah.
And I like to say that's what I did, but I didn't. I went home and I stayed in the fetal position for 5.5 months. Would have been 6, but unemployment ran out in 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
True story, UPS driver comes next door, and I go next door to tell him I got fired. Because when you're throwing a pity party, everybody's invited, right?
Mm-hmm.
Told him I was fired. Told him I was a single dad. Told him I didn't know how I was going to make ends meet. And he looked at me like, good, that is one less box I'll bring out here. No sympathy at all. So I went in the house, and I looked in the mirror, and I had a conversation for 4 hours with what I believe was God that day. And I called my grandmother 4 hours later, and I said, you know, all I've ever really wanted to be is on stage and television and radio and print. And she said, go for it. And I said, what if I lose this house? And she said, buy you another one. She said, I don't want you to be 30 or 50 or 80 and go through the would have, could have, or should have. And this is from a woman that found out that she had a tumor on her lung about the size of my fist and dying of lung cancer, my very best friend. That was 18 years ago. I got fired on February 17, 1996, and my first day on any stage was May 17, 1996.
Wow.
And we haven't looked back since. Now, I'm not trying to tell everybody out there listening to quit your job and tell jokes for a living, because you will lose your house. The house I expected to get taken away because, you know, we couldn't hide it. You know, we didn't have a trailer house, so you is planted in the ground. Now, the truck, on the other hand, when it got repossessed the first year of doing comedy 18 years ago, that was a little shocker because I was hiding it. The only day that I left it outside was on Christmas Day, and I told my son, you know, nobody's going to repossess a truck on Christmas. Apparently,
yeah.
Ford will. So, and my son had the great line. We're standing in the spot, and at the time, he's maybe 7 or 8 years old. And he's standing in the driveway, and I'm looking down in the driveway, in the floor or ground, like it has shrank. Like, you're like, I know I left this Ford 250 around here somewhere, right? And my son had the gray line. He goes, well, Daddy, we don't need to call the cops on this one. I said, that's true, boy. We're all right. But that was 18 years ago, and now it's all, you know, it's long past, and,
right.
And now we've toured all over the world really doing this, so it's been great.
Yes. Well, we're glad you chose this route because we wouldn't have been laughing our butts off tonight.
If it wasn't awesome. Thank you so much.
Exactly. And how do you come up with your material? Is it life experience or how do you come up with it?
Mainly, yeah, I would say 90% of the story is true, and then you just exaggerate a little bit. And but you know, when your kids are 28, 25, and 9, that helps. I've been married 3 times when I was growing up. You know, a third time was considered a charm. Now it's considered a learning disability. So you just roll with those kind of bunches, and, you know, you have fun with it. So, yeah, sure.
And what comedian do you really look up to that just
makes you... my all-time favorite was obviously Richard Pryor. I love Pryor. I like storytellers in general, people who are not doing a setup punch thing. I like somebody that when you leave the show, you go, well, I know that fella. Mm-hmm. I know that guy. And that's what I hope to bring to the show, too, is that when they leave, they're like, that guy's our cousin. That guy's our friend. So, yeah.
I love that. And, you know, what is one joke that you do that really gets people every single time that just you know is the funny one?
How clean is this show?
We're pretty good. We can edit out anything. So.
If you go online, there's a bit that I do about guys dancing late at night in a bar. It's called the Back That Thing Up, We'll Clean It Up For You Guys, Cowboy Bill. And but it shows guys dancing at 8:30, adding a little alcohol, 1 o'clock, or 10:30, adding a lot more alcohol, the 1:30 dance. And that thing is a non-fail bit. So, yeah.
That one gets them every time.
Get them.
I love that. And thank you for cleaning it. But you've gotten to tour with such amazing people like George Strait, Rascal Flatts, Brad Paisley, Loretta Lynn, and the late George Jones, to name a few. Can you tell us a little bit about experiences like this?
Well, probably my, you know, Mr. Jones was probably my favorite tour of all of them because he kind of took me, and it was funny because he would call me Cowboy Bob all the time, even though my name, and he knew it was Bill, but he did it as a joke. So he would call me Cowboy Bob, and I would call him Dad, right? And one night we're working together, and we're in Canada, and he puts his arm around me, and he goes, you know, son, you stay away from the booze and the women, you're going to go a long way in this business. I said, Daddy, that's why I got into this business. And he hugged me and goes, me too, but don't tell Nancy.
That is hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Well, that, you know, that's such a great experience to be able to kind of learn from those guys and get to, you know, kind of meet them face-to-face. Because you see them on the, you know, radio and on TV, and just have you had a starstruck moment?
You know, the first time I ever worked with George Strait, you know, we did San Antonio, and so it's 75,000 people in the Alamo Dome, and then I'm hosting the entire Strait Fest, right? So there's Leanne Rimes is on the show, and Leanne Womack is on the show, and all these stars, right? So I'm doing comedy while they're doing the set changes, you know, in front of the 75,000 people. So it started at noon, and now it's 10 o'clock, and George Strait's about to come on. And they come to me, and they said, you know, we're out of time, so your last set you won't be able to do. And I was okay with it because I've been there since noon, and I was out of material. Got to be honest.
Right.
You know, I was done. So I was like, oh, that's perfect. And, you know, but I didn't play it that way. It's like, really? Can I just go do one more set? No, yeah. I can't do the one set. So they said, Mr. Strait feels really bad about cutting this last spot out. So they're going to run the GMC promo. But after that, instead of having the introduction that we do with the video, Mr. Strait would like you to go out and introduce George Strait and the Ace and the whole band. So I walk out, and there's 75,000 people. So, you know, I got starch jeans, and I got boots, and I got might even had a George Strait hat on at the time, and, you know, button-down shirt. And when I first walk out, these flash bulbs are going everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And the people are going crazy, and all I kept thinking is that people way, way, way far from the stage are going to get their pictures back and go, that George Strait is not that good-looking in person. He looks horrible. Right? But I'm there, and there's, you know, I can see my face on the Jumbotron, and I get to the X right in the center stage, and I remember telling myself, just relax, just let it come to you. And the sound was so loud, I could feel it in my chest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor and a privilege to welcome George Strait and the Ace and the whole band. And the band starts playing. I didn't know they were behind me, right? So they play So, and the crowd goes crazy, and the sound that I thought was loud went up tenfold. It actually punched me in the chest, the sound wave did. So I'm walking off stage, and George Strait's walking towards me. Mm-hmm. I'm walking towards him. I stick out his hand, my hand, and he goes, "Great job, kid." And I go,
That's most of America's reaction right there. Dead on.
And he turns and looks at me like, "We hired this kid to talk." And he walks on out. And the only two times I've ever been starstruck was with George Strait and with Nolan Ryan. I got to meet Nolan Ryan, the famous pitcher, and both those guys. I had nothing to say, not even a, "You know, I like the way you pitch. You throw good." I couldn't even get out of "You throw good."
See, if you can't get that out, then you know that was, yeah. And also you got to work, you know, with Jeff Foxworthy and Bill Engvall and Larry the Cable Guy. What was it like working with those funny guys?
Well, you know, all those guys are, believe it or not, just the greatest and the classiest guys that I've ever been around. And, you know, if you want to learn how to be a professional in show business, period, not just a comedy, do a couple of dates with Jeff Foxworthy. And he was amazingly gracious and kind and funny and just set yourself at ease. That he was just, and, you know, he was my idol. And then he just act like we had been friends forever. So, yeah, that taught me a lot, both of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see shows and you think they're like this crazy, far-fetched, you know, type people. But they're probably really cool and down-to-earth in real life.
Oh, Jeff was amazingly cool. You know, he lands in a private jet, obviously, you know, and then he gets in a limousine. But he comes to me. First time I ever met him, we were working together in Branson, and we were in the Palace Theater, the old Grand Palace Theater. And he walks in and he goes, "Hey, man, won't you come to my dressing room?" And I had my dressing room, right? And I had in my rider that I needed 6 beers on ice and, you know, Skittles. I think it's what I had, beer and Skittles. So he goes, "Man, every time I come here, you got to come see the spread that they put out for me. All I want is like a 3-piece chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken and some mashed potatoes and coleslaw, right? That's all I want."
Yes.
And he said, and then we went around the corner, and it looked like a family reunion was going to happen because they had for him probably 60 pieces of chicken, a vat of mashed potatoes, a drum of coleslaw, and he goes, I wouldn't eat all this in a month.
Yeah.
So he was just really cool. And we were just standing there, and there's like agents, and there's people that booked the thing and everything else. And he looks at me and goes, "Hey, Bill, I got a new bit that I've been working on. What do you think of it?" And he started telling me the bit. And everybody else in the room, right? So he finishes the bit. Everybody laughs. He looks at me, and I go, it's okay. And he goes, "Yeah, that's what I thought, too." Because at that point, all he is just another comic who wants to know if it's funny.
Right.
So.
Exactly. And, you know, where can people find your next show if they want to see you be funny live?
The best place to go is my website, cowboybill.com, cowboybill.com. And the tour schedule's on there. Also, if you go on there and you sign up for the fan club, the newsletter, then once a month we'll send you a newsletter. And then when we come to your city, when we come to your town, we'll send you a little email then when we get close. So, yeah, just join up for the fan club.
Yeah, join. That's really, really neat. I'm going to join. There you go. Come on. I was watching, you know, your comedy clips on YouTube, and they're just hilarious. So people, if you can go on YouTube, make sure you do that. But now I understand you also are writing a children's book. Is that true?
I am. I've been through a divorce, so we've got a project in the works now. We look to have it out either at the end of this year or the beginning of next year. But it's all about a positive message for kids who have to go through every other weekend with their dad. And if you look online, if you look anywhere, there's not a positive message ever about the fact that just because it's every other weekend, it becomes the quality of time and not the quantity of time. And it's a lot about imagination and the dad and the son and his dad and daughter book. There's 2 different books come out, but it's all about enjoying each other's just time that you do get. So we're really excited about the project.
Oh, Wow. Well, you have to let us know when that comes out, or you know, we can find it. That would be amazing.
You know,
definitely check it out.
If you register at cowboybill.com, we'll let you know when it happens. See, we call back.
See that? Now that is great self-advertising right there. Do it, people. Do it. Now, are there any other projects that you really would love to get into? Because you've done so many different things. Is there something that you feel?
I'm also a screenwriter, and we've been working with a couple of different projects on that. I got to write under the tutelage of John Frink, who's the executive producer of The Simpsons. So I've been working on a lot of writing. But then I also do songwriting as well. So there's a song out right now on several country radio stations called 400 Horses. Because if I hear one more song about going down an old dirt road, drinking beer on a tailgate with a girl in cut-off shorts, I'm going to switch to rap. Period. So the song 400 Horses is about getting into a car and leaving in a small town. Because I grew up in a small town. The only thing you want out of a small town when you're 17 years old is just that, out. You just want out. But according to Nashville, we all just want to go, you know, sit on a tailgate and while the cornrows pop up and roll, roll, roll my boat.
That is hilarious. And, you know, also, one last question. Before we go, but what do you like to do on your downtime when you're not doing everything that you're doing?
You know, I got a full family. I mean, I remarried again a year ago September, and my wife has two children, and I have three, and then three of them now are married, and we have a new grandson through my oldest daughter. And I just, you know, my wife gets upset because when I get home, she wants to go somewhere. Well, when I get home, I want to stay home. I lived out of a suitcase, but you know, with everything else that's going on, it's the wife and the kids that take all the other time that we have. Sure.
Yeah, it sounds like you have like a really great balance between family and work, because you need that to stay grounded.
You know, we really do. We're really in a good spot, and with the 1 hour special, you know, I just take my very first 1 hour special, and it hopefully will come out at the end of the summer. That's what it looks like it's going to do. And then, you know, maybe it all changes. Maybe everything it's good stuff.
I like that. Well, I'm very excited about the special, so I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting with me a little bit.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It really was.
That was the wonderful, wonderful interview that I had with Cowboy Bill Martin. And remember, you could check him out at www.cowboybill.com. and also cowboyswhocare.org. So please make sure you check out both of those websites to find out more about Bill Martin. It was so much fun. He is hilarious. We were just constantly laughing with that interview. I couldn't even stand it. I loved it. It was so, so much fun. But now I'm very excited because I want to share with you guys my interview from Cheyenne Smith Ford. And I had such a great time speaking with her. She's so down to earth, and she's just so, so sweet. I loved chatting with her. She did an incredible job that night opening up for Mickey Gilley. So please take a listen to that right now.
We are here in the beautiful Arlington Music Hall tonight in Arlington, Texas, of course, and you were opening up for Mickey Gilley tonight. How was that? You rocked it, by the way.
Thank you very much, and it was an honor and a privilege for sure. Mickey is just the definition of what true talent really is, and I wish that we could see a little more of that coming back nowadays, I mean, with the classic thing. And so I really try to keep the classic country sound around. And so that's very important to me for sure. So it was definitely an honor.
Wow. And when you found out that, you know, you were going to be doing this, did you hear, you know, his music before? Were you a fan or?
Well, of course. I mean, obviously, I grew up in East Texas, so I love country, but he's just so well-rounded. He can sing just about anything. I mean, we know him for country, but Mickey is, like I said, he's the true definition of talent, and he's gifted, and the Lord has brought him through so much, and other than just being an entertainer, just him as a person and what I know about him, even just from afar, and then getting to meet him today for the first time, it was just very eye-opening that it's not just about your talent. I mean, it's who you are, and his heart really shines through in what he does, and that's important as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, you did a really great job opening up. And, you know, I seen that you started singing at a very, very early age and actually had your CD drop like at 10 years old. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, well, my mama always jokes, obviously, that I've been singing since I could talk. But I really started getting out there when I was probably around 8 years old at the local Opry's. And then I started doing the bigger stuff when I was about 10 years old when the CD came out and really started to open doors for me. And it's just kind of taken off since then. And I'm still just a regular old country girl, but I love to sing, and I will never give it up until the end of my days. I will be singing in the rocking chair. That's going to be me.
I love that. And, you know, I love that you stick with traditional music. We were talking a little bit before we even got on air here, but you really stick with that, and you really bring it back, and people enjoy it. People were screaming super loud. There was some whistling, so, you know. But tell us about that, how you stuck with traditional.
Well, you know, growing up, I've obviously listened to all kinds of music as well, but classic country just always, which, you know, it just stuck close to my heart. And my grandpa and grandma, of course, and my granny, you know, I grew up listening to all kinds of the old classic country tunes. Mm-hmm. And I remember even watching the old Loretta Lynn movie, and it was just like, that's what I want to do, you know, at an early age. I loved that classic country sound. And so through the years, you know, I've ventured out, and I can sing just about any kind of music. I have a passion for music, obviously, mm-hmm. and I try to really, you know, throw a variety in and some of the different shows. But classic country, it's my roots, you know, it's what I come back to, and I wish that there was more of it still around, and I'm really hoping to be one of those that tries to bring it back, you know, mm-hmm. for
Definitely.
Sure.
Yeah. What's your favorite song to cover, the traditional stuff? What would you think?
That's really hard. Ooh, I should have thought that one through before you ask, because there's way too many that I enjoy singing.
That is a tough one, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I did Silver Wings tonight. I've always loved Merle Haggard, and I definitely enjoy singing that song. I really love Dawn Williams, and there's a song that my husband actually plays all the time. It's called My Best Friend, and I, as far as just, you know, driving down the road or singing in the shower, of course, love to sing that song. But when I come back to something I would really want to perform on stage and a song being my favorite in that area, I would probably still come back to Stand By Your Man. You just, that song never gets old to me, ever. And of course, you know, my husband's out there grinning the whole time, and I love to joke with all the good old country guys out there, because they know exactly what I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think there were a lot of people that totally agree with what you were talking about. And you have over six albums. Are we able to, like, purchase those somewhere that we could find?
You can actually go online and find those. My producer, Sunny Foster, has a website. It's netexproductions.com, and there's a link, and you can get right to me through his website. And if you would like to purchase those online, feel free. I would enjoy that.
So. Awesome. Check that out. Make sure you guys do that. Show your support. I think that is so cool. Now, I have a list here of things that you – a list. Yes, dun-dun-dun. Of really, really cool things.
I love it. I'm
experience.
A list person, so I have to –
So I am too. I am too. So you know what? This is perfect. This is perfect. But basically, I want to, you know, just list off some really, really cool things that you've done. You performed at Mel Tillis' Christmas show. You also did Roy Rogers, Jim Owens, Mo Bandy show, Loretta Lynn Ranch, Nashville Palace. Can you tell us about some of those experiences?
Through the years, I can honestly say the most fun I've had would probably be doing a bunch of the shows in Branson, Missouri. Mm-hmm. You've just got to love Branson. It's so much fun. There's so much to do, and it never gets old. But definitely, I've had a lot of wonderful opportunities, and I thank the Lord for that. Watching all of these people on TV, you know, growing up and seeing their interviews and watching their songs really come to life on, you know, well, not only on the radio, but on TV and watching them perform live and even seeing music videos, it was so inspiring. So getting to have the opportunity to meet several of these artists was such a thrill. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start. And trying to pick my favorite one out of those would be another very, very hard question, but I've definitely had some wonderful opportunities through the years.
Definitely, definitely. Have you ever had a starstruck moment where you're kind of just like, Because you see these people on, you know, TV or, you know, you hear them on the radio. Have you ever been, had those outer body experiences like, what?
Kind of like, this is really happening. Oh, for sure. But, you know, then when I just stop and really think, it's amazing how I go back to, they're just regular people. They're just like you and me. And the ones that really let that shine, they touch my heart more than anything. I mean, I did a show with Mel Tillis not too long ago, and for instance, he is one of the most down-to-earth people I've ever met in my life, still running around the stage at 81 years old. I mean, I just hope and pray that I have that energy. I wish I had that energy now, but my goodness. And so, I mean, I could probably get lost in the starstruck moment, like you said, but I really, you know, I just look at them like you and me. I love to sing. They love to sing. We're just out there doing the same thing, really. They've just maybe had a little better luck so far than I have, but they've gotten a little further than I have. But we're just people. I mean, they're the same as everyone else, and we just, that's what we love to do. It's just like if, you know, if someone was in the rodeo or they like to race cars, you know, it's just whatever you have a passion for. Even if you, you know, work at the mall, if it's something you're passionate about, you know, it's important. And so it's nice to meet these people and realize that they are just regular people like you and me, just doing their job, you know, and having fun at it, too. That's the most important.
That is the most important thing. And I think that is just so great that you had the opportunity to really kind of learn from them and watch and take back things that they've done so you can learn. I think that's the most important thing. And now I want to tell you, you debuted your title song tonight, which was incredible. Everybody loved it, called Rainbow Colored Words. Can you tell us exactly what that song means to you? Tell us a little bit about it, for those who don't know.
Well, getting back to the classic country theme that we've been talking about, I definitely fell in love with the song. As soon as I heard it, I just thought, oh my goodness, the instrumentation and the lyrics, and it just touched my heart. And I thought, it's just so simple, but to the point. And it's what we're missing now. And it just took me back in time, and I thought, oh my goodness, if we could really do something with this song, if we could really get it out there and with many others and just let people hear that classic sound again, I really think it will fly. I think it'll just, you know, it's going to run, we're just going to run away with it, hopefully. And it's just going to really hit, I hope.
I do too. I enjoy traditional music. I'm 19, and I really love it because I get to see, you know, just these great stories really come to life.
The ones who started it all.
Exactly.
I mean, they are so inspirational.
Yeah.
And just knowing that they're the ones that really set the tone. And how could we forget that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I come back to. How can we forget what real country music is all about? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm ready to bring back to life.
Exactly. That should be a motto on like a t-shirt. So, you know, copyright. No. But can you give everybody, you know, any websites or social networking sites so people can check out all your work?
You can go to CheyenneFord.com, or it might actually be CheyenneSmithFord.com. Mm-hmm. You know, being married, I have to remember, I have to know both these names now.
Yeah.
And you can find out a little more about me on the website, obviously. And once again, you can go to NeTexProductions.com. Mm-hmm. Sunny Foster is actually booking agent for many other artists, not just myself, and you'll find out about all kinds of great upcoming concerts on there as well.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely going to keep track and see and everything, because I'm a fan now. I really am. I am. I loved it. And are you working on any other projects that you're, you know, maybe another album? What's going on?
I have actually been writing a lot lately, and as a writer, it's really funny how songs come to you and when they come to you. I mean, it'll be 3:00 in the morning, and it just hits me, and I'm like, oh, and I'll jump up. I have to write it down, you know. And my husband might not always understand, but it's, like I say, it's a writer's thing, and it just hits you when it hits you, whether you're driving down the road or you're working or you're asleep even. And you never know when those lyrics are going to come to you. And so I've definitely been trying to work hard on bringing a lot of those together. And so hopefully we'll have that new album out soon.
Well, let me know, because I would definitely love to purchase and support. So a really popular question that I love to ask, who would you like to do a duet with, anyone dead or alive?
Martina McBride. Most definitely Martina McBride. If I could say I truly looked up to someone in country music, mm-hmm. it would definitely be Martina McBride. My whole life, I have just adored her style of music, mm-hmm. her compassion, and the way she's just... She always puts God first, mm-hmm. and that is most important to me as well. And so she's always inspired me to write those types of songs. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, I love all different types of music. But as far as, you know, truly admiring country music, she's a great picture of that. And she can sing anything from classic country to, you know, contemporary Christian, and she's just wonderful. So definitely that would be who I would choose.
That was a good answer, and a very fast answer. That was good, that was good. So what are some things that you like to do on your downtime when you're not working on music?
Well, I am actually an artist. I love to paint. I love to draw. Obviously, I write songs, so just about anything artistic. Sometimes I'll go for a nice jog through the neighborhood, you know, and just enjoy looking at the trees being with nature and just kind of taking a break from it all. But most of all, when I just really need to clear my mind, I love to paint or draw. What I love to do.
Very cool. Something you can't find on Google. Learn a new info. Thank you so, so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate having you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you as well, Josie. It's been a pleasure.
She was so incredible to talk to. I had so much fun. And remember, you could check her out at www.CheyenneSmith.net. And that's C-H-E-Y-A-N-E. Smith.net. And also you could stroll on over to www.NeatexProductions.com. You can find her there as well, along with everything else that that wonderful website has to offer. So please make sure you check it all out. Now I want to give the great, I just have to say, I was given the, you know, greatest honor and privilege to speak with the incredibly talented and legendary Mr. Mickey Gilley. And it was such a great interview. He is so awesome. I had so, so much fun with him. So please take a listen to our backstage chat right now. Mr. Mickey Gilley, everybody.
All right, so we are here at the Arlington Music Hall in Texas, and I'm very excited because I have the legendary Mr. Mickey Gilley here with me. Hi.
Hi, Josie. It's good to be on your show.
It's so good to have you. I'm very excited, along with all of your fans that came out tonight to hear you sing. My first time going to a concert of yours, so I'm very excited.
Well, as young and as pretty as you are, I hope that you'll enjoy some of the music. Most of the people that I'm playing for, you know, have gray hair like mine, see?
I know I will. I really know I will. So are there any rituals that you do before you go on stage or to get pumped, ready?
No, not really. I've been doing it over 50 years, so I just... try to put my best face on, walk out, and say hi to the people, and go into the show and tell them. Right now, what I'm doing is down memory lane with Mickey Gilley. I'm taking the people who are always in the 50s into the 90s. So I got quite a few things I tell them about the music. And some of the interesting things are about why certain songs came about and why I recorded a particular tune, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it makes it sort of a more interesting presentation for the folks out there just listening to the songs, you know. If you do a song and they're interested in that song and they find out why you did it and the reason you recorded it a certain way, or, you know, you may have went back and revisited the song or something, or it was taken off an album or something. So that's what I try to do. I just try to bring them up to date on what happened with the music.
I love that. And I've heard a lot of great, great things about it. A lot of people on Facebook especially were very, very excited to hear a little bit more about it. But also I want to talk a little bit about this theater that you have going on called the Mickey Gilley Branson Theater. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I've got a group called Six is in my theater at the present time. This year will be my 25th year. I'm going to celebrate my 25th year on October the 5th. And they're giving me this is supposed to be a surprise party, but I told them, I said, you can't surprise me. I got to know this. You know, if you want me to be there, you can't surprise me. So I know that I said, y'all can bring a lot of different people in if you want to, and it'll be a surprise to me. But I know we're going to do the show on October the 5th. So, I mean, that's just the bottom line. And hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun, because I'm sure that a lot of the people that I've worked with down through the years, hopefully will, you know, come and join us on a Sunday. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, oh man, that's a good Sunday. That is awesome. And also, you know, on Facebook, I had a lot of messages asking me to ask you about the Urban Cowboy. A lot of people are very interested in that. Can you tell us a couple of your favorite memories from doing that?
Well, I can tell you that John Travolta was a very nice guy to work with. We had a great time when we did the film. I was totally surprised when Paramount Pictures pulled into the parking lot to do the film, because at the time that we had signed off for them to use the club, I still didn't believe they was going to do a major motion picture from that old joint that we had called Gillies, you know. But it really turned things around when he came in and did that film.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And now you have a release coming out here. We wanted a lot of opinions on it, called Easy Come, Hard to Go. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that song means to you?
Sure. I recorded it back in the 80s. It's off of the album You Really Got a Hold on Me, and I had forgotten I had even recorded it. In fact, I don't even remember recording it, because at the time that I was making records back in the 80s, I was a party animal, you know, and I like to party. So I would go in to Nashville, and I'd go to the bars, and I'd have a good time, and I'd go up the next day to record and have the things I didn't remember, you know. And I tell the story on the stage sometimes. I said, you know what? I said, I remember the guy that really turned my career around, took me out of the shadow of my cousin Jerry Lewis, and when he started recording songs like That's All That Matters to Me and You Don't Know Me, Headache Tomorrow, Stand By Me, and the soundtrack to film The Urban Cowboy, and how we came back to work together. And I said, I can remember him calling me up, you know, a lot of times, and I need you to sing at 10 a.m. in the morning. I said, 10 a.m.? I don't get through throwing up till noon.
Well, I heard it, and I think it's so great. I absolutely love it, and I am very excited. Hopefully it gets released, and we could buy it on all the technology out there.
Well, I don't know whether it'll ever, you know, be released like it was back in the 80s, but I thought it was a great song. It was well written. I wished I'd have wrote the song, because now I'd really been high on it. But I'm really surprised that somebody hadn't found it and went in and recorded it, because it's a beautiful love song.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever had a love affair go south on you, I mean, you know, it brings tears to your eyes.
It's very relatable, which I think is what people really like about that. It's not far-fetched.
Right.
Yes. And also, can you give everyone any links that you really want to spread out there? Any links, some websites, social networking?
Well, what I try to do is when I advertise my webpage, my Facebook page, I tell the people in the show, you know, if you go to Mickey Gillies' personal update page, join the page, like me.
Like him.
Like me, and I'm trying to catch up with my two friends, Neil McCoy and Tony Orlando. So that's my big pitch. And we found something to do the other day that we did that was kind of interesting and a lot of fun. We had some people come down from New York, and they came to the theater for the show. And after the show was over, I went out and did a meet and greet with them, and we did a Facebook thing. So I got there, you know, I got a lot of hot air anyway, so, you know, I got on the microphone, and I'm saying, hey, we got you to New York, and I started business on Facebook here, did you have to have the show, you know, and, yeah, you know, and so it's kind of neat to do. You probably saw it.
It was very neat.
So the other day, we did an introduction of our Gilly beer, because we brought Gilly beer back online after it being taken off back in the 80s. And so we introduced it last night at a club called Daddy O's, and it was jam-packed, and we had a lot of people in there with Gilly T-shirts on. So when I got on the stage to do a couple of songs, I called everybody. I said, y'all just bear with me now. I want everybody with Gilly T-shirts to come up and come to the stage. I want you to be on this camera here, because I'm going to do a Facebook update page. And I did it, you know, and everybody's I did the same thing with him, you know. So I think it's a lot more fun to do it that way.
It really, really is. I think that is just so, so cool. I love how you get your fans really, really involved, you know. I mean, they obviously appreciate it, and I think that's really, really cool, because they come out there to check out what you have to offer and see what you're doing. So that's really, really cool.
Well, I'm just glad at my age that I can still get out and sing. I can. My accident caused me to not be able to play the piano at the present time, but my goal is to get back on the golf course and also get back at the piano. But I'm still having trouble, you know, with my body, because I took a bad fall back in 2009, July the 5th, and I was paralyzed in the neck down for about 3 months. I couldn't move, and so I'm back this far. I am walking now. I'm not walking like I want to, but I'm walking. And I might be looking like I'm having a couple of drinks when I'm bouncing over the wall, but it's because my balance hadn't returned like it should have.
Right, right. Well, all that matters is you're doing your thing. You're trying. You're working it, which is all that we could ask for. And also, where could people purchase your music? Your older stuff, your newer stuff? Where can we go?
Well, all of my recordings were done by Epic Records, and I think Sony bought Epic out, which was a division of Columbia. I don't know if they're still putting the music out there or not. I really don't. I hadn't even checked on it. The only thing that I know that they're still playing the old stuff by Mickey Gilley, but you know, I hadn't had anything new out since 1986.
Mm. Well, are you currently working on any new stuff? Maybe an album?
No, at my age, I don't think that they would play the music, so it's no point in me going in the studio and wasting my time, you know. If I had a novelty type song that was maybe catch, it might be kind of entertaining. If I could find a song like the Red Solo Cup that Toby Keith did, or, you know, the girls all get pretty close in time, something like that, that people might, you know, pay attention. But just a love song, they're not going to play it by Mickey Gilley.
Where are the best places where we could find any upcoming performances?
If you want to find out where we go and what we're doing, you can always go to my Facebook page, because I try to keep a schedule, you know, and also my web page. You can go to it, too. It's gillies.com. You know, and you can pull it up and take a look and see the things that we're doing and what's going on. We do have a few things that out there that I'd like to invite to people. If they get a chance to go to Las Vegas, they can visit a Gillies there at Treasure Island. We have a Gillies there. We have two in Oklahoma, one at Pocola and at Choctaw Nations, and one in Durant at Choctaw Nations. And that's two Gillies, one in Vegas and one here in Dallas.
Yes.
And, of course, we're here in Arlington not right now, but we do have a Gillies over Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
They're building one in outside of Reno, Nevada, at Sparks, at John Esquivel's Nugget. So if they get that built and we get one built in Pasadena, I'll have my name on six clubs.
Wow. Now, congratulations, first off. That's really, really cool.
Along with my Gilly beer.
Exactly. We have to promote that. I'm 19, so I'm not old enough yet to do it, but hey. You know, when I turn the legal age for that, I will definitely make sure, Gilly Bear, people, okay? I will definitely make sure. Do you have any memorable performances over the years? Do you have one that really sticks out in your mind?
Well, I traveled with Conway and Loretta back in the 70s, and those were very special moments. I also, back in 1959, my first chart record, Kenny Rogers played the bass on it, so... That's sort of a memorable moment in my career, you know. So, yeah, when I look back on things, there's a lot of things that's happened to me down through the years that's been memorable. I think when they gave me the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame,
yeah.
That was very exciting. Get to go into Hollywood and do some acting roles, that was very exciting. I got to be on The Fall Guy, Murder, She Wrote, Dukes of Hazzard, Fantasy Island. Don't ask me what my fantasy was, I'm not telling you.
Oh, that's secret. That's really, really cool.
I got to meet Hervé, you know, the plane.
That's awesome. So you really enjoyed acting as well. Is there one that you preferred over the other, or did you really like them equally at that time?
Well, I enjoyed doing The Fall Guy because I didn't get, I played a character and I had to play Mickey Gilley. So, I mean, it was, I wasn't doing myself. I was doing a country act that was stealing a writer's music. And I had a confrontation with him in a bar. Swung at him, hit him, and he later died. And I get my chauffeur driver to take the fall for me. And then he jumps bail. And so then Lee Majors is looking for me, you know. So that was really my first acting role. And it was a lot of fun because I never had done anything like that before.
Right.
And it was because on one particular thing, I flubbed the line, you know, and I turned to Lee and I said, I'm sorry. This is the first time I've ever done it. He said, yeah, I know. So that made me double nervous, you know.
Right. Well, something new that you know, obviously everybody gets nervous about that. But, you know, have you worked with so many amazing people, whether it's acting or, you know, music. Is there someone you still would really love to work with?
Yes. Elvis Presley and the Beatles.
There you go. Gold.
No. I never got a chance to meet Elvis, and I never got a chance to visit with the Beatles, which I was a big fan. I'm a big fan of both that group, and also Elvis Presley was the guy that I really, really thought a lot of, you know, because he opened the doors for all of us in the music business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also, you also have a Gillies Texas Cafe where you bring Taste of Texas to Branson. Wow, that's really, really cool.
Well, I turned the restaurant over to my son. This is the third restaurant I've had. Two of them didn't make it, and this one here is on the brink.
Well, you know, I have to also mention, I talk to a lot of up-and-coming artists on my show, who, you know, really would like some advice from you, been doing this for a very long time, on how to make it, how to do.
Well, it's kind of hard for me to tell anybody how to make it in the music business, because the fact is, I had given up in my musical career after I had struggled 17 years. I threw the towel in, and when I opened the club up in Gillies in Pasadena, Texas, I would have never even dreamed that I would have a successful record. But it just so happens I got a local TV show, and I went to the club one night, and the lady had the jukebox in Gillies. She says, you did a song on your TV show today. It's my favorite song. And I said, what was it? She said, she called me baby all night long. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, do me a favor and record that for me. And I said, ma'am. I said, I'm out of the recording business. I'm not recording anymore. She says, I will put that on 300 of the jukeboxes I got spread out through Pasadena and Houston. If you'll put it on, it'll be good for you at the club here. So to make a long story short, I went in to record. She called me baby all night long. And for the flip side, the B-side, I picked my first number one song nationally, which was Room Full of Roses.
Wow. It's fate. It's so funny how things can come to be. That is very, very cool. And also, I read this, and I thought this was really cool. I had to mention it. Do you have a street named after you? Was that true? Is that true?
Well, in my hometown, yeah, we got McGilly Avenue. The street that I grew up on, yeah. And we have a street there, McGilly Avenue. And the alley back today, right behind is the alley. That's Jimmy Swaggart's. I'm just kidding you.
I'm like, wow.
No, yeah, you know I've got two famous cousins, right?
Yes.
Jerry Lewis and Reverend Jimmy Swagger.
Right. But I know that you have to obviously perform, so I don't want to take up all of your time here. But what is one thing that you like to do on your downtime when you are not performing?
I love to play golf, and of course, the two things that I love more than anything else is golf and music. And I don't fish, I don't hunt because I don't like to kill anything. But golf is my pastime. I used to fly. I've got about 8,000 hours of flying time. But when all the trouble I've had with my health, I lost my medical, so they won't, FAA pulled my medical. When they did that, it canceled my flying time.
Right. But you've done everything. you've got to try a lot of really, really cool things that not a lot of people could say that they did. That's really, really
well,
good.
Well, I guess one of the great things the music industry did for me was I got to go overseas and perform for the troops. Now, that was a lot of fun. Because I've got to go all over the world, you know, and so when I heard that they had buried Bin Laden off of the Carl Vinson, I was on that aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
I performed on it for the troops, you know, so I knew what they were talking about, and so that was a very interesting time in my life to do that particular thing, because after the Airborne Cowboy came out, me and Johnny Lee were traveling together, but they asked me to do the USO tour, so I went and did it, and it was very rewarding.
Absolutely. I mean, nothing better than to support the troops. I mean, I think those are the number one type performances that a lot of people should do. And I want to thank you so much for taking your time to chat with me a little bit. And also, I'm excited to see you perform.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, and that there was the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful interview with Mickey Gilly. And I hope you guys really, really enjoyed these wonderful interviews. And please make sure, if you want to check out Mickey Gilly, go on Facebook, and all you have to do is type in the search bar, Mickey Gilly's personal update page, and then it's right there. It's super, super, super easy to do. So search bar, Mickey Gilly's personal update page on Facebook, and check it out. Like it. Like it, follow it, everyone. Please make sure you do that. It's so, so cool. You can get updated with everything Mickey Gilly. So I want to thank you all so, so much for tuning in tonight. And we have some updates before we go here, some great announcements and stuff. But I really do hope you guys enjoyed my backstage interviews with Cowboy Bill Martin, Cheyenne Smith Ford, and Mr. Mickey Gilly. I had such a great time, and I am so glad to be able to share that with all of you tonight. And big special thank you to Sonny Foster of Netex Productions for inviting us to this great event. And it was just, I enjoyed myself so much. I loved it, and I can't wait till next time. I'm already planning it. I'm already planning to be there. I love it. And, you know, also for some quick announcements here before we go, Country Blast Radio's Giveaway Tuesdays are coming back, and we kick off our first one tomorrow, Tuesday, April 29th, with artist Mike Seiler. You can listen in on Tuesday for Mike's songs to play, and when you hear one, all you have to do is text his name, Mike Seiler, to the station to be the first to text and win, you guys get great merchandise from Mike Seiler. So the station number to text is 331-442-5833. And once again, how you get the wonderful, wonderful merchandise that Mike Seiler has to offer for this giveaway Tuesday is all you have to do is just text his name, Mike Seiler, to 331-442-5833 when you hear one of his songs playing. So the first person that texts gets an awesome prize. So I'm very excited that this is back. And remember, April 29th, okay, is the Country Blast Radio Giveaway Tuesday with Mike Seiler. So I'm very excited about this. It's going to be so great. And also, please tune in Friday to the live Josie Show at 7 p.m. right here at josieshow.com. We have such wonderful, wonderful things planned that I'm very excited about. So check that out. And while you are at josieshow.com, please make sure to click on the VIP membership tab to check out all of the Josie Show VIPs, what they have going. We have pictures of them. We have, their links and all that. So please make sure you check all of that out. josieshow.com. Just go around the site and check out everything. Make yourself at home. And I want to thank you all so, so much for tuning in tonight. And I will see you right back here on Friday for our live Josie Show. And remember, my parting words, you know you love this. Sometimes you have to turn your world upside down to chase your dreams. However, remember to make good friends along the way and enjoy the whole journey. And I am surely doing that. And along with all of you wonderful, wonderful people out there, just enjoy it and enjoy everything that life has to offer. And thank you all so much. And good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Josie Show Special Edition. Woohoo!